check it out now. Huh. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, January 7th, 2021. It's the Beanie the Book Podcast Megapod Wild Card Weekend. That. Super Wild Card Weekend, as they're calling it. The first time we've ever had this format where we have three games on Saturday, three on Sunday, seeds 2 through 7 in both conferences as they add another team per conference into the National Football League postseason. It's Gil Alexander, alongside the staples of the show, Mike Palm, Derek Stevens, Consigliere, and of course, Vice President of Operations here at Circus Sports. How you doing, Mikey?
Great. Great, Gil. We're finally here.
You're doing a vaccine at the end of the show, so you have a hard out?
I am. I'm going to get vaccinated, so...
For the Rones, for the coronavirus?
That's it. That's it.
Because your wife is a healthcare worker?
How do you get so far up the list?
That's correct.
Because
how did you get so far up the list? Are you living in a nursing home now?
No, but I live with a frontline worker.
Oh, that's
my wife is a nurse. She actually this morning gets her second round.
21 days after the first?
Yeah, it's been exactly 3 weeks since she got her first shot.
And tell everybody her reaction to the first shot?
She did. You know, it's like the people to the flu shot. You know, they're giving you the disease. And so she, for 72 hours, she had a lot of pain, tremendous headaches, and a fever, and then it started to wane after 72. She couldn't get rid of the headache. No matter what she tried to take, it was really bad.
I had one flu shot in my life. I've never been sicker. Mm.
That's why people don't get the flu.
Yeah.
People don't get it because they don't want to get sick.
Right.
Some people are very against it.
Well, I guess I'm supposed to say congratulations that you're getting this?
We'll see. Okay. We'll see how it turns out.
All right. And then that voice you hear from his mom's cork attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, cleverly disguised with a Pittsburgh Steelers decal and logo. They only used to have them on one side of the helmet. That was always weird. It's Todd Wishnev. Yinzer. How you doing, Toddy?
They still only have it on one side of the helmet.
Is that true? No, they don't. They have it on both sides.
Okay, Gil. Fine. You're right.
Wait a minute. Are you really suggesting they only have it on one side of the helmet?
I'm not suggesting. I'm telling you, and that's the way it is. But if you'd like to argue with me, no problem, E.
Do the Steelers only... He called me E.
When they go left to right, you see it.
He called me E.
When you go left to right, they see it. When they go right to left, you...
It's not there?
It's not there.
Really?
Disappears.
Oh, I didn't notice.
E.
Yeah, that always used to kill me as a kid. And okay, so we had 17 different guests. He called me E. That's so messed up. It 17 weeks during the season, we had 17 different guests. And I don't want to offend any of the 17, but we like to get the all-stars here for the playoffs, right? And so all-star number one, maybe the all-star of them all. It's Drew Dinsick, Whale_Capper on Twitter, half of the Deep Dive podcast team with his buddy Andy Molitor, which is a phenomenal listen, who is with us for Wildcard Weekend. Thank you, Drew.
Fellas, it's an honor and a privilege. to be invited in the first place was an honor and a privilege. To be invited as an all-star, this really takes the cake.
Yes.
I've already got it on my resume.
I was going to say, where do you list this in your career achievements?
Well, we're putting it close to the top.
I expect it in your Twitter bio by tomorrow. Also,
there we go. That's the right
Megapod
place.
Megapod all-star. It's a joke, Mike.
If Drew's the all-star for being here on All-Star Weekend, could we have Brent next week? Because he's divisional.
He is divisional.
He's divisional.
He is divisional. And now the literal divisional. It's Brent Musburger. Okay. So this is the first time we've ever had six games. Now, typically on a wild card weekend, we'll do this next week for a divisional round. We'll have four games. We'll go through every game. Let's just stick to the format that we normally have for this week. And I guess organically we'll get to every game. So we'll do the three best bets thing that we always do. We'll do a teaser of the week. And then we'll talk about the big favorite most. We'll do the same thing we always do, just because there's six. And if we do all six, we go around the horn, we'll be here for 2 hours. So let's start with the best. Oh, before we do best bets, I'm sorry, last thing, because we talked about it all year.
Survivor.
35 Survivor entries get through.
Incredible.
$68,000 each when you do the chop.
Wow. 68 change, yeah. They have eight. They picked eight different games, and they all came through in week 17.
And the Rams end up being what got me, because I hit 16 and 7. I would have hit 16 and 17 too. So F you, Jared Goff and the Rams for losing to the Jets. I asked Chrissy, I said, are you sort of deflated about the fact that it's $68,000? And he goes, yeah.
Because he only gets 300 in his share.
Yeah,
because
he has 25 partners. Yeah. So it's the worst. What a chop. He got chopped and chopped multiple times. So you guys are going to meet. You're going to figure out a new format next year, or tweaks anyway.
Yeah, after the Super Bowl, We'll meet and come up with our contest rules. Derek was hoping there'd be the double bye, and then you could have 20.
Yes.
If there was a double bye, and they extended it to, you know, you'd end up having to go 20 and 0 if you included Thanksgiving. So that would be a little harder for him to have to pay out the $1 million bonus next year.
He will offer the million, though?
I think he's leaning that way.
Yeah, I think it sounds like he will. And then Circa Millions, thank you for hooking me up with the booby prize guy, Michael Montesano. He was a joy to talk to.
Fascinating radio. I don't think
fascinating.
I can't find a person who didn't think that was fascinating.
I can find one.
Oh, one.
One.
There
I
is
can
one.
Find one who refused to listen to it and got an argument with Todd about it.
How about you listen?
Yeah. How about, how about you listen to it? Very inside joke we're making right here. We have a buddy, Drew, who just refused to listen to it, it seemed like. Then he told me he did listen to it, so maybe he did. But it was fascinating how he got to the booby prize. And the answer was, for people who didn't listen to it, he had two entries, had an 0-5 and a 1-4 week one, and then decided, I'm going to... What was that?
That's interesting.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't get why he would have done that, but that makes total sense.
The two entries was the part I didn't count on. So with the 1-4, he decides, well... Now he had a past contest history of success. He had placed in contests, so he wasn't some random dude. So he knew he was kind of good at this. So the one in four entry, he decided from that point forward, I'm going to go for the win, and I'm just going to do Oppo on the 0-5. And then the second week, the 1-4 went 2-3, and the one that he wanted the booby prize for went 3-2. That was the interesting part, because he still decided, the 2-3 was still good picks. I'm going for it the same way. And that's when he went 4-1, 4-1. He started doing this thing. And in the end, the quarterlies were not interesting to him. And he placed with the top one. He placed in the top 50, and he won the $100,000 booby prize.
And he had to go 0-5 the last week.
He had to go 0-5. Yeah. But I asked him, I said, week 17, did you then, because every week he was just trying for the winners, and then he would just derivatively do the losers. I said, for week 17, did you flip it? He goes, no, still went for the winners. Ended up with 5 losers.
Can I ask, was there a specific booby prize strategy? Like you take the stale lines that are bad? Because nobody else is picking those, right?
He did not mention that.
You know that
he just took the opposite of what he thought the winners were going to be.
When Gregorich and Baker were on with Mitch and Paul, they mentioned that though when they were behind, you know, they were ahead at Westgate.
Yes,
they were so far ahead, 3-4 games ahead. They were just picking. You know, they didn't have to worry about what other people would choose it.
They won Westgate, but finished second,
tied for second. But at Circa, they were behind 3 points. They started going when they liked the team that was a bad stale line. They would take it because they knew nobody else was. That was the only way they could make up points. And oftentimes, they'd be the other leaders would be on the opposite side of that stale line.
Did you hear my Las Vegas Chris interview though? That dude is the reigning contest guy now, tied for second, tied for fifth in Circa Millions, and his story was unbelievable with such a relatable mistake in week 16. I'll let people listen to it, but it's the horror of doing something that he didn't mean to do. And he would have won it all. Instead, he makes over $250,000. And I asked him, I go, what was it, more joy or more regret? He goes, I didn't care about the money. I just wanted to win. But that's Chris. Anyway. All right, Super Wild Card Weekend. Drew, you got honors, Your Honor. What's your number one?
Number one is going to be, I'm going to take the under. In the first game on the board, Colts Bills. I'm under 51. Is that the consensus right now? 51? Not going to get a 51.5.
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. I'll take 51. There's a couple reasons that I like this. The first angle here is Josh Allen and his. He is obviously shown us a lot this year. He's proven a lot. He's taken an enormous step forward in his ability to be an accurate passer. He has largely done so thanks to, you know, his wide receiving core is superlative. His offensive play caller is among the best in the league, maybe the best. And he has taken meaningful step forward as a passer in general. A lot of this has come against man coverage. He has yet to really master the cover two zone scheme that the Colts run. And in fact, of all of the types of coverages that he has succeeded in this year, he ranks 31st among 32 qualifying quarterbacks against a cover two style when it comes to completion percentage over expectation. So this is sort of the one area that he still has sort of yet to prove it. And I think that does take a little bit of the heat, a little bit of the steam off of the potential for the Bills to really get into the 30s here, which we've seen them do so effortlessly over the last half of the season. Now, will he eventually figure it out? I think so. Will the Bills eventually win in advance? Yes, I think so. I think the Colts really are in a nasty spot here. The Bills defense is coming on relatively strongly. They are relatively one dimensional in how much they lean on the rushing attack. And at some point, if the Bills are up by two scores, I think this is game over. I don't think you can count on Phillip Rivers and his noodle arm in the cold weather at Orchard Park to realistically mount a comeback with a crowd there. And so I think the chances for garbage time points here by the Colts is pretty low. I think the chances for, some sort of high scoring shootout are also relatively low. And really and truly, I see this setting up very similarly to the Pittsburgh Buffalo game from a handful of weeks ago. It takes Josh Allen a couple of series to sort of get his legs under him. The high intensity of the playoffs, the spirit in the moment, and the cover two defense being somewhat tough for him to crack. I mean, they've been hitting home runs by taking it over the top of the defense. The cover two is specifically set up to prevent that. They want to keep everything in front of them. They're going to force you to be efficient. They're going to force you to matriculate the ball down the field. Cole Beasley is not 100%. Stephon Diggs isn't 100%. The Bills' running game is going to provide relatively nothing. So I think you could realistically get into the second quarter here, and it might be 0-0, 3-3, 3-0. And then at some point, Phillip Rivers makes a mistake. The Bills capitalize on that with a short field or a defensive score, and then they never look back. But the chances that this gets over 50 over 51, I think, are relatively low. I make fair price 48.5. So 51 under is my biggest edge on the board.
I love it. Very thorough response. I would talk to, first of all, two things. One, Francisco Lindor and Carlos Carrasco to the Mets this morning. Huge baseball trade. Two, I just saw it across. Sorry, Drew. Two, I talked to Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus last night on the MSG Plus show. That I do with Matt Brown and Danielle Alvari and Kelly Bidlin called Primetime Action. And he had a very interesting comment. Todd, you will appreciate this because this the baseball tie-in is this, since we're just mentioning the trade. BABIP, batting average on balls in play, a baseball metric that describes the good or bad fortune of a pitcher. So once the ball leaves the pitcher's hand, he cannot control what happens from that point. So it's a metric of fortune. And he said that Josh Allen, their equivalent to that is something they call turnover-worthy plays. Mm. And he said Josh Allen is the most fortunate quarterback in the league this year on turnover-worthy plays, which I thought was fascinating. Now, we don't know if it's going to manifest in this game, but it is something to sort of put in the back of our heads maybe for a future week as well. Were you aware of that?
No, but it does check out. I mean, I don't want to say the Bills feel like fool's gold. I like them. You know, they've been very profitable. I've backed the Bills quite a lot down the stretch here, and they've been probably the most profitable team I've supported over the last half of the season. And I don't want to try to, I don't want to be wearing Bills Mafia colored glasses here and say that this team has a realistic chance to win the AFC when, potentially they still have a lot to prove and there's a lot of youth and a lot of inexperience. Sean McDermott's still looking for his first playoff win. Josh Allen's still looking for his first playoff win. So it's, there is a lot that they have to prove, but at the same time, I don't think there's any offense in the NFL outside of maybe Green Bay that is playing, playing more efficiently right now, regardless of situation.
All right. Under 51, Indianapolis Buffalo for Drew Dinsick. Mikey.
I'm going to take
Did you want an update on our record skill? You always skip that. Did you not want that?
I'm so sorry. You're right. Court stenographer Todd Wishnev, everybody. What are the final records for the regular season?
We didn't even get a chance to crow about how well you and Mikey did last week.
All right. How'd we do?
You and Mikey both went 3-0.
Yeah.
And I went 2-1, so we all did pretty good last week. You moved to 24-24-3. Mikey moved to 25-22-4.
Wait a minute. I was a half game behind Mikey. How'd I drop going 3-0?
You were 22-23-3.
Okay, right? So how does 3-0 get me to
that? You're 25-23-3.
Thank you.
What did I say?
You said 24-24-3.
I'm sorry.
Addition is subtraction's clever friend, Todd.
Stop the count.
Stop the count.
25 23-3 for Gil.
Yeah.
Mikey goes 25-22-4.
Oh.
And I go to 23-20. It's not over yet. The playoffs count.
Okay, playoffs count.
No, there's a regular season championship.
There is a regular season championship.
You can, by the way, you would be the regular season champion. That would be something that you would get.
Thank you.
The full season is what's important.
It's more important. I always said Dean Smith's regular season ACC titles were more impressive than the tournament ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Of course, of course. And in the teasers, Gil is at 9-8, Mikey's at 11-6, and I am at 11-6. So it's very tight for the tease.
What happened to now, me? Teasers? God, where? What happened?
We were all like 8-3 at one point, weren't we?
Jesus. Yeah. All right. Okay. So those are still everything's
now
still
that
in play.
I've given, not, right now that I've given the update, now you can throw it to Mikey for his first pick.
I'm going to take an under as well. I'm going to go Rams Seahawks. What's the total there, Todd? Ooh. 42.5.
I have. That's what I think I have, 42.5, yep.
Yeah, this game played twice, 23-16 at SoFi, 20-9 in Seattle. Both games went under, and that's with Goff in the lineup. What more if he doesn't play this week? We saw the Seahawks offense be relatively stagnant for 3 1/3 quarters in Arizona against San Francisco last weekend. And I think this game will play out more of the same as it did the first two matchups. Look, if they don't have Goff, the Rams are going to have to try to run the ball, keep Wilson off the field, control the clock, and shorten the possessions. And, you know, Seattle has, with Carson, has tried to establish their running game. And let's face it, their defense has gotten better through the course of the year, which it should with a defensive-minded head coach like Pete Carroll. I really thought this number would come back somewhere around 40.5 or 41. So at over 42, I think there's good value here.
I had Jeff Schwartz, the former offensive lineman, on a numbers game this morning. Did a great job.
He's very good on VSiN when he makes.
Fabulous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had his 7 top picks, props, and all kinds of stuff. And I dared ask him, hey, you know, Jeff, all week I've been saying, is there really a difference between Wofford and Goff? I dared ask him the question. And I could see his cloud bubble go, you idiot, of course there's a difference. I don't know if that plays into your total, but the under for you.
Under.
So two unders to start things off.
I kind of want to argue with that point
too.
Wofford versus Goff.
Drew, say that, please.
I like Wofford.
Yeah.
I like Wofford.
Because of the extra dimension?
I don't like Wofford, the basketball school. Wofford, the quarterback, though.
He has
an extra dimension, of course. His scrambling and he was aggressive against the Cardinals last week. He didn't wilt at all in the must win moment. And every time he had running lane opportunity, he took it. And he's got quickness. He's got elusiveness. He wasn't afraid to put his head down. It was an encouraging performance by him against the Cardinals. Meanwhile, Goff, I know he hurt his thumb in that last game, Week 16 against the Seahawks, but he stunk. I mean, he really was flummoxed by a base defense, and they gave him lots of comfortable reads. He had two brutal red zone possessions, one where they got stopped in the goal line, one where he threw a pick towards the end of the first half, and that pretty much sealed it for them in that game. I don't know about rolling a Goff out there with a surgically repaired thumb this quickly. I think they're going to do it. But honestly, like I've been eyeing this price on the Rams all week, and I just haven't been able to pull the trigger because I'm kind of nervous about them rolling Goff out there.
Two things.
Well,
one,
you should be.
Go ahead, Todd.
Can I say something? You should be worried about Wofford too, Drew. I had the under 20.5 last week on the team total, and an offense is not snapping the ball, rolling back, and running for your life. Now, it happens to be that he was not bad with the running for your life system, but let me just say one thing. They got 2 on a safety and 7 on an interception joke, and with that, I still had to sweat out the under 20.5 and still got there. So while Goff does stink, and we all agree, let's not all, you know, pretend that Wofford's a real quarterback. So, you know, I'll just say that. But maybe you're right. You could be right. I could be wrong. I just think Wofford hasn't proven anything. But I did like his running ability. Actually, I didn't like it. Every time he went back to pass, he starts running for first downs. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? This guy can't even play, and you're letting him run for first downs. Anyways, that being said.
And we know that there's a Jared Goff face. We don't know that there's a John Wofford face.
I thought that when he was able to step into his throws, he was awfully accurate. When you had nobody in his throwing lane, I was impressed with it.
His first throw, he threw it right to a linebacker in Arizona.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Yes, that was not a good play, yeah. Did you hear Todd's appearance on a numbers game this week, by any chance?
No, I didn't know too late. And then
let me just tell you what happened. Todd just went after me. And one of the things he says to me on the show is he goes.
But tongue in cheek. One second. Tongue in cheek.
Yeah, we do it with love. We do it with love. As Todd says, the only way it works is because we like each other. I was like, easy, buddy. No, but he said, he says to me, he goes, you're the problem. You know what the problem is, Gil? You're the problem. He's like going after me for like trying to make it seem like he's all happy-go-lucky and I'm too buttoned up. And I reminded him, I said, Todd, I'm the problem. I'm the only one propping you up in life here. Let's get this straight. And he kind of then backed off a little bit.
It's all Gil.
It's all Gil. Everyone just went after me. No reason. All right, 200.
It was a great appearance. Mikey, I have it. It's a 10-minute audio. I'll text it.
Just
like...
goes all in on me. It's really? Amazing. Oh, the thanks I get. All right, Todd, you're up.
Okay, I'm going to go against our good friend here, Drew, and I am going to take...
Wow.
If that is your name.
that is your real name.
Well, in gambling, you never know. These guys are, Jimmy the Rock.
Wait, that was one of the best appearances... Todd, that was one of our best shows ever when we were arguing about that two-point conversion rules in that Denver game, and I kept telling you what the rule was, and you go, okay, Gil, if that is the rule. I go, there's no if. It's the rule. Yeah. Okay, yes, Gil, if that is the rule. I go, there's no if. He goes, all right, Gil, if that is your name. All right.
Okay, wait. Here's the deal. I'm going over 51 in the Colts-Bills game. Now, ooh. I'm going to do this.
Guy. Top picks collide.
Jesus. Top picks collide.
I'm going against him, and not because it's true, just because that's what I had written down as my first pick. Here's the deal. I don't think the Bills are really good on defense. Now, you're going to say, but wait, their defense looks so good lately. Okay, let's all just hold our roll for a second. And this is what I hate about the statistical guys. They're like, oh, and this is not you, Drew, but let's pretend you were one of those statistical modeling jerks.
Sure.
Okay. These guys are all like, oh, well, in the last 6 weeks, they were blah, blah, blah. Okay, here's who they played. Miami, no offense. New England, no offense. Denver, no offense. Pittsburgh couldn't run the ball, no offense. San Francisco, Nick Mullins. L.A. Chargers, who would have had 24 if what's-his-name knew what to do at the end of the game. Arizona gave up 26. So anytime, all this amazing stuff that they did. I'm sorry. All this amazing stuff they do on defense late in the season has come at the hands of poor offensive football teams. So to me, I got to feel like now earlier in the year when they're playing teams like Seattle, they gave up 34. They gave up 26 plus a Hail Murray to 32 in the Arizona game. They gave up 26 to Kansas City, and Kansas City could have scored a million if they went to just run the ball with a layer every down. Tennessee scored 42 on them. I mean, the Raiders scored 23 on them. Teams can move the ball on the Bills if they're a legitimate team on offense. Now, I can't believe what I'm going to do here is think that Phillip Rivers, and I know I'm in Phillip Rivers Anonymous. I'm not really supposed to be betting on his games. I'm not supposed to be picking his games, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And the people at the meetings are going to get mad at me, but I'm going to do it. I'm going over because I don't think the Bills are that great on defense. So I think Phillip Rivers is going to get his points. And the Bills on offense is fantastic. We all know. Now, you're telling me Josh Allen can't do it against zone defense. You know what? If he beats me because he can't figure out zone defense, I tip my hat and I say, you know what? You were right, Drew. But I don't believe it. I think the Bills offense is fantastic. Can't be stopped. They're a juggernaut over team, 10-4 on the year. Give me the over 51, and we will see who is correct.
Wow. I'm going with Drew because I like Drew better. I like Todd. That's my reasoning. All right. Oppo on total right there. That's
that'll funny. Be the first one. It'll be the first game decided. We'll know right away.
We'll know right away. We'll know right away. My number one is not what my number one was earlier in the week, but it is now. Again, a lot of this based on Jeff Schwartz, again, who I had on this morning. I asked him, what is Stefanski's absence? And by the way, he was phenomenal, and he will be on the Megapod next week. I asked, what does Stefanski's absence mean as a guy who played the game? And he says, A, great question. B, he said, the first 15 plays, it won't mean a thing, right? So I think there's an in-game betting opportunity if Cleveland scores early to pound the Steelers, who, by the way, I don't know if you guys know this, have the decal still only on one side of their helmet.
Interesting.
No, it's on both, I think.
Okay. But what he said to me, he goes, it's after that where it is going to, and these are my words, it is going to screw with the Browns. He says at that point, setting up plays for later plays and the whole sort of in-game strategizing is going to be completely skewed after that. And so Pittsburgh's line is not obviously what it was earlier in the week. It's six now, not what it was pre-Stefanski COVID. But I like the Pittsburgh Steelers as my number one play. It was probably going to be three-ish, or two or three earlier in the week. But after having that talk with him this morning, they're my number one. I really do believe that the Steelers...
Minus six.
The Steelers showed last week, even when they weren't playing players, they're the better football team. Big Ben, Watt, Hayward, all these guys have a week to rest. I think it's going to matter. I don't think Pittsburgh's winning a Super Bowl. I don't think they're getting to an AFC championship. But I do think they bully their little brother this weekend in the final game. I'm going Pittsburgh.
Oh, by the way, Drew,
I love the silence.
I just wanted to say something because you said the thing about in-game. Drew, I would never bet the game pre-game anyways because I almost never bet pre-game in NFL. So if it was between me and you, I would take your pick on the pre-game over 51. That being said.
We agree on that. I think it's going to be slow early. I really do. If you want an over in that Indy Buffalo game, I think you can wait until mid and first quarter. You'll probably get 47-ish. Ooh. It'll come down quick if there's a couple punts. And then I agree with you, Gil. Steelers are the right side here, but let the scripted plays go by for Cleveland first before you get involved. And in fact, I think a legitimate betting angle might be Steelers under second half, because Stefanski's not going to be in that locker room making the adjustments that he's made all season that have been very good. And I don't know that the special teams coordinator is going to be able to do the same kind of in-game adjusting at halftime that we've seen Stefanski do. So
love it.
It's definitely potential.
How pumped am I for wild card week? I'm so pumped right now for this weekend. All right. Second picks. Drew, number two. Number two of the pre-flop since we're giving so many in-game
thoughts. Mike didn't get to go yet. Does Mike have a first pick?
Oh, no, Mike had a first pick.
Rams under.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that's right. Rams under.
Mike's just worried about his vaccination later. I could tell it's sinking in. Very subdued. Is it sinking in? Is that what's worrying you right now?
Mike, if you die from COVID, can you write up a little will that says I get to be active content manager at Circa?
A little will. Write up a little will
real
quick.
That could always be challenged for competence.
God, it's fired, Mike.
He meant your competence, not his mental competence.
I know that.
You didn't catch that, did you? All right, Drew, number two. I'm sorry.
I'm going to stick with an under trend here overall. And I'm going to go for the Saturday night primetime game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Washington football team. I'm going to take this under 45. It's not the best number. I make this 43. So I don't have a huge edge, but I like capturing the 44. And some of this is not necessarily data-driven, handicap-driven. It's a little narrative-y. I will acknowledge that on the front end. But Tom
There's
Brady has not played
narrative-y.
Well.
There's nothing wrong with narrative-y. Cut it out, Drew.
We're in the content biz, so narrative-y pays the bills, right? That writes the checks. Tom Brady has struggled mightily against teams with strong defensive lines. This isn't a secret. Everyone knows this. You might even think this is built into the total already. Tom Brady has also struggled in primetime for whatever reason. I don't have an answer for this. Earlier this season, I made a bet on the Buccaneers against the Rams in primetime because all week Bruce Arians couldn't stop talking about how much of a focus it was for them to get the guys used to playing under the lights. And they still stunk. They still couldn't get it done against the Rams and Jared Goff, who threw, I think, two or three picks in that game. So for whatever reason, there is still a small issue with Tampa Bay's offense performing at the level we expect when they're in primetime and when Tom Brady is up against pressure from a bona fide defensive line. Washington football team has the best defensive line in the NFL, maybe on par with the Steelers and Rams, but I think they're the best in my, at least the way that I grade them. I like some of their interior pass rush pieces to go along with the absolute superlative outside rushing from Chase Young and Sweat. I think if they can disrupt Brady and what he wants to do in the passing game, then they're going to have success because Bruce Arians' system has two huge flaws. The first is they are not leaning on Brady's strength of the get the ball out of the hand quickly. They're asking him to let the plays develop downfield. He has the highest average depth of target of this season. They're asking him to throw the ball downfield. And obviously you would do that if you have some of the best weapons, some of the best targets in the passing game, which the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do. Evans is going to be limited with his hamstring, but I think he goes. Godwin is truly amazing. Gronkowski has recaptured some of his former form, and they're getting contributions down the roster in their wide receiving and tight end room. But if Chase Young can get home, if Sweat can get home, if they can collapse the pocket, especially from the interior, I think Brady's going to struggle to hit those guys and be accurate in those moments. And also, there's a second flaw in the Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich system, and that is they dump off passes to Leonard Fournette at a disturbing clip.
Disturbing.
Every time Leonard every time he gets a carry or a target, it is a wasted down for this team. You're taking opportunity away from more talented guys that are on the field, and every swing pass, it just makes me cringe. My 2 yard loss swing pass to Leonard Fournette. Like, I don't understand why they're doing it. It's a part of their DNA at this point. They're going to do it in this game, and it's not going to work because the athletes on the front seven for the Washington football team are too good to let them, gain cheap yards with the swing passes in the screen game. Flipping the script here, Washington football team likely going to go with a quarterback platoon. And the saying as it goes in the NFL, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. I think you have a problem with the way that they're even approaching this. You're going to throw out Alex Smith out there in the first place. He is, only going to take, what is obviously there for him in terms of open receivers. He is not going to take chances. He's not going to turn the ball over. That's kind of, that's his well-known MO. And Tampa can do tight coverage. Tampa's an aggressive defense. They're going to have guys, glued to your receiving options. Terry McLaurin's not 100%. If you're asking Steve Sims and Logan Thomas to create separation against this defense, you're in trouble in the passing game for the Washington football team. I think that right away lends itself to a conservative game plan from Ron Rivera in Washington. I think you're going to see quite a lot of running. You're going to see them shorten this game or attempt to shorten the game, at least by playing keep away to a degree. If for whatever reason Smith is ineffective and they switch it up and they go with Heinicke, he is a turnover waiting to happen, particularly when the field gets short in the red zone. And I think that takes points off the board for Washington. So, regardless, 43 is a fair price for me on this total. So I'll take under 45 as my second play.
I'm going to jump in because Drew and I are aligned here. So three things. One, back to the Cleveland game for a second. Browns practice facility closed again today. And I also think they were way too emotional about breaking the drought, the 18-year drought, and making the playoffs. So I think there's a bit of a, you can believe this, an emotional letdown heading into the wild card. So that's another couple reasons for the pick on the Steelers before. Two, you don't have baseball futures up here. I wanted to go bet the Mets, so curses to you. Mm. But I'm with you on Tampa as my number two. And Drew was kind enough to come on a numbers game earlier this week on VSiN. We talked about the Tampa Bay Washington under. As I was watching that Washington Philadelphia game on Sunday night, all I kept thinking about was this defensive line, Sweat, Payne, Allen, Young, are going to mess with Brady. I don't know how the Skins are going to score. Washington football team is going to score. I couldn't believe, neither of us could believe that it came out at 46.5. I actually have it in my account at under 45.5, but my number two pick under Washington Tampa at 45 as well. Mikey.
Todd, what number do you have on the Ravens and Titans?
Ravens and Titans, I have at across the board either 3.5 or 3-125. So I think you need to take it at 3.5, to be fair.
I'm going to take the 3.5 points with the Tennessee Titans. I think this game should be a pick 'em. I don't understand how Baltimore can be more than a field goal favorite here.
Do you listen to guessing lines?
No,
one of the six.
No,
where I couldn't understand this line.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me either.
Well, the Tennessee defense is why.
Well, but they're bad, okay. Let's.
But I'm with you.
There's a lot of pressure on Lamar Jackson here after blowing two playoff games in a row, and he might be awful tight coming out. I also think that Tennessee has the ability to play from behind that Baltimore doesn't. And if Baltimore, we've seen this happen before in Baltimore, where Tennessee gets a two-score lead and then they just completely lose their minds. They get out of the running game. He can't be a drop-back passer. He just can't. It doesn't work for them. I think this is a close game. I think it's a field goal game, and I'll take more than a field goal with the home team.
By the way, if we were doing more than three picks, that would have been my number four pick. Yeah. Todd Wishnev from his mom's cork attic in Pittsburgh.
I'm going to go really, really, really against what I'm allowed to do here today. I'm really being bad.
Oh, no.
I'm taking the Indianapolis Colts plus 6.5.
Ah,
I really want to torture myself.
Who is this guy?
I really, I really want to feel bad about myself when I have Philip Rivers on my side of the ledger, and I hate Philip Rivers.
Todd, there's no booby prize for this week. You don't get like 100K if you finish last here.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I was trying for. I just think that the Bills haven't played anybody lately. And again, I don't think the Bills defense is as good as everybody thinks it is, you know, playing against all this crap all of the last 6 weeks. And I think the Colts are a pretty decent team. Now, I don't think they're great or anything, but I don't think they're 6.5 points worse than the Bills. And, you know, I think, and the other thing is, I think the Colts have sort of a sneaky-ish decent defense. They're sneaky decent. I'm not going to say they're good, but they're okay. So I think they might be able to hold it down a little and lose 30-24. I win plus 6.5. I know that I'm going to be down 13 late, and Philip Rivers will be driving down the field and have it at like the first and goal at the 6 and probably not get it in, and then I'll curse myself one more time. In fact, he killed me 2 weeks ago in the Steeler game when I had them and he was up 24-7 and couldn't pull it out. So who knows, maybe I'm just going to get burned again by Philip Rivers as I always do, but I just have a feeling this week that they're going to be able to stay in the game. 6.5 is just a lot of points. I mean, the Bills are not a juggernaut. I mean, I know they looked amazing the last couple of weeks, but they're playing crap teams. Give me a good team that they're beating. And then, I mean, granted, Miami's not bad, but they're not good on offense. So give me Indy plus 6.5 as my second pick.
All right.
All right.
Number two from Todd. I already gave my number two. So Drew, number three.
There's a lot on the board that I'm tempted by. Gil, I liked your Pittsburgh play, but
Thank you.
I think my approach on that one is going to be in game.
Yeah. I think that might be the optimal play for that.
I think Mike made the highest EV play on the board, personally, which was Tennessee plus 3.5. But I'm staked up to my eyeballs in Ravens futures, so I can't in good conscience take the Tennessee Titans at this point. I'm going
to
stick
we
with the
under.
We can
come back to you if you need to think a little more.
No, I'm just playing this out for drama. Okay. This is, I know.
It's just drama.
I know what my pick is going to be. I was just commenting.
We have like music. We should have music in the background.
I could sing the Dolphins song while he's figuring it out.
I'm going to stick with an under trend here, and I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears Saints under 47.
Ooh.
Couple of looks here. And realistically, I'm pitching this on the basis of, I think the Saints could pitch a shutout. I really do. I think the Saints defense is for real. I think this unit has come together quite well over the last half of the season, really over the last three quarters of the season. They started poor. They gave up a lot of soft yards, soft points early on the season. As you look at sort of team defense statistics over the course of the year, that first 5 weeks really kind of biases the sample on the Saints D. And the Bears taught us a valuable lesson last week, I think. We didn't really know what we had with Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy's system since they put him back in that Packers game week 12, 13. They performed well. They put up points, but they did it against the absolute dregs of the NFL in terms of defense. And so we didn't really know what they were capable of until they came up against the Packers week 17 in a must-win game. And I got to tell you, having watched almost every minute of that game, it was an absolute labor for them to move the ball against a good defense. They didn't have the same fluidity. They didn't have the same, the same looks, the same confidence, really, when they were going up against a competent defense. And I think this is a true test for this Chicago Bears team. I think they struggle to make their team total 17.5 points here. And the Saints are a team that while I like their path this year in the playoffs, I like their chances to get to the Super Bowl. We still have not seen Drew Brees really take the top off of any defense this year, and he's going up against a relatively tough test. I know that the strength of the Bears defense is their pass rush, and that's going to be neutralized by one of the best offensive lines in football in the Saints. But with Kamara having, coming off of the COVID list likely, and Michael Thomas coming back in, You know, with his off of the IR here, there's going to be some moving parts. There's going to be it's going to take some time for them to really figure out, you know, roles and responsibilities on offense and really click to the degree we've seen the Saints click at times during the season. Drew Brees coming off of his injury still isn't as good as we saw in the middle of the season. And so I think the Saints, there's not I'm not worried about an under 47 where the Saints win, you know, 48-0. I think realistic final score here, you're talking about 27-14. 31-14, something in that ballpark, but under 47 is my third play for the wild card.
Under 47, play number three, Saints Bears. Again, forgive me for mentioning him again, but I just did the interview with him. Jeff Schwartz, top seven picks. Number four was Bears team total under. So along the same line.
I like that team total under too. I love that. Bears. Remember last week I said I took the under in the Green Bay game because I said the Bears did it against crap defensive teams. Let's see if they could do it against a real defense, and of course they couldn't. So I couldn't agree with you more on that one, Drew.
Mike Palm, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm going to take a common pick, the Steelers.
You seem very upset today.
I'm okay. We saw when the Lions had their coaching staff out and they had these fill-in analysts and coordinators and all this and how discombobulated they were in that game against Tampa Bay. And I just don't think as this game wears on, they're not going to be able to stay with the Steelers. They're really going to struggle to score after the first quarter. I agree with Drew. So I'll lay six here.
All right. Laying six. No, you agree with me on that one.
Yeah, but no. Drew's point.
Drew's point.
Yes, Drew's point.
Was it Drew's point? Okay.
Yeah.
Waiting for the scripted plays to go by.
Yes. Yeah. After the first 15 plays, they'll be lost at sea.
That was the Jeff Schwartz point, yeah.
Also.
Yeah. Okay.
And your point.
No, just
everyone but Todd is in on
everyone
this.
But me. Everyone but Todd.
You're not going to believe what you guys aren't going to believe what my third pick is.
Number three.
Cleveland team total over.
Are you kidding me? Oh. What's number three, Todd?
My third pick is the Cleveland Brownies. The Cleveland Brownies plus six I have written down here. And I'll tell you why I'm going to take the Cleveland Brownies plus the six. Look, I know a lot about Pittsburgh Steelers football. I know about Pittsburgh Penguin hockey. I know about Pittsburgh Pirate baseball. I know about where you can get a delicious meal downtown. I know a lot of things about Pittsburgh.
Downtown.
And one thing I can tell you about Pittsburgh is we suck on offense. And I don't care that in the second half against the Indianapolis Colts, we were able to string together a couple lucky passes. Deontay Johnson actually caught a pass. Hallelujah. Praise the eternal that Deontay Johnson actually caught the ball. Give me a break. Okay, one half of football out of five games on offense does not mean that you got an offensive football team. We can't run the goddamn football. It's going to be chilly, folks. Let me tell you something. When I go outside, it's freaking cold. You got to run the football in the cold. Guess what? We can't run the football. Okay, how are you going to win by six against anybody when you can't run the football in the playoffs?
Did you have a stroke there? What just happened?
He lost the accent.
Kevin Stefanski not going to be able to be in the building. He's probably having meals at home with his wife. I don't know what the hell he's doing. But let me tell you something. It's going to be tough to win by six if you can't run the football. Give me the Cleveland Brownies. As much as it pains me to say, the Pittsburgh Steelers pull it at 20-16. Give me the Brownies plus a six.
All right. Oppo man, Todd Wishnev on Cleveland plus six. My number three is the Buffalo Bills. I'd love to tell you that I am super duper confident about this. I was, as the week goes on, I've certainly had my moments where I'm like, uh-oh, is this too much to lay? But everything, I mean, I'll just be honest with what's in my account now.
Six and a half.
Six and a half. Yes, sir. That's what I meant. Six and a half. I have the Bills minus 6.5. I have them in teasers. I have them in teasers with the Saints. The Steelers are now a great teaser leg. We'll get to that momentarily. But I'm all in on the Bills here. And so my weekend tone is going to be set very early since this is the first of the six games. Look, I think the Bills are playing maybe the best football in all of the NFL. Todd's point about opponents accepted. But the Colts, on the other hand, for me, are perhaps the most inconsistent of all of these teams. I think I know what I'm getting with most of these teams from week to week. Even the Rams of the world, I kind of get who they are. I still don't know who the Colts are. And they needed to get by a Jacksonville team last week. They needed a late run from Jonathan Taylor. I just don't. Phillip Rivers, as we know, that is not a guy I want any part of. I love to be in a situation where I fade a team with Phillip Rivers. They don't have short yardage package with him, third and one, fourth and one. That is, we said all year, that's going to, at some point, that's going to be a huge competitive disadvantage for them. As soon as Jacoby Brissett comes in, we know what's coming as well. These are the little things that don't seem like big deals, but they are incrementally high leverage plays, incrementally during the regular season, but high leverage plays, especially in the playoffs. I'm going to just go with the instinct on the Buffalo Bills. I think they're poised for a nice run in the playoffs. I still have futures on the Chiefs. Maybe we'll get to some futures here in a bit. But I'm going Bills. I'm laying the 6.5 as my number three pick. Tennessee would be my number four.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, sure. it's a fun handicap, that game. Really. Yeah. It's the most fun handicap on the board, in my opinion. Fun just meaning there's a lot of depth you can mine. Right, like your points about Indianapolis being potentially frauds are very real.
Yeah,
like, looking at their schedule, they have the easiest strength of schedule of any team, and the fact that they've gotten wins against some bad teams doesn't really matter much. People will point to, well, they beat the Packers. Well, they beat the Packers because the Packers fumbled a kickoff return. Right, like it wasn't really an impressive win at all.
Well, they won at Pittsburgh, Drew. They won at Pittsburgh
in the first half.
No, I counted that as a win. It was 24-7.
Oh, okay. Okay. But what you're betting on, if you're betting Bills -6.5, is you're betting on one Phillip Rivers turnover. And that's a good bet.
Yeah.
Because he turns the ball over one time. He gives the Bills a short field one time. And the Bills are up two scores. How are they getting back in this game? They're not going to be able to lean on the running attack. They're not going to be labeled, you know, Jonathan Taylor all of a sudden is neutralized. And it literally is, you know, one of my good friends was chatting with him today. He's like, a game where Phillip Rivers has 30 pass attempts is a blowout. I mean, it's not competitive, right? I mean, if he has to throw the ball 30 times in this game, this is a multiple score win for the Bills.
Game script.
It's 27-14 with 2 minutes to go, and the Colts have it at their own 44 with one timeout left and 1:32 to go. Phillip Rivers will get it inside the 3-yard line and then blow it for me, I'm sure. But that's what it will come down to, I'm sure.
My most likely score for that game, by the way, is 28-21 as I run projections.
Oh,
well, there. So if he gets the back door, I'm going to win 27-21, 27-21.
I said 28. Nice. I heard 28, Todd. I heard 28. All right. Those are our best bets. And by the way,
I'm worried about Mikey. Is Mikey, are you okay today?
Mikey's not okay. Fine. Mikey, are you, what's going on? Are you okay, man?
I'll be okay.
All right. Do you want a COVID hug before your vaccine?
No.
Okay. Didn't want
to
hug.
Do you need some popcorn? I can go to the South Point right now and get you the big
one. The big one.
Yeah, the big one.
The big one. I want the big one.
Okay. All right. All right. So those are our best bets here. Teaser of the week. Drew, 2-leg, 6-point teaser of the week.
This one's pretty easy for me.
Buffalo and who?
No.
Oh,
Tampa.
Wow. I don't think you can tease Buffalo in good conscience at 6.5.
He's taking Tampa. I'm sure he's taking Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa is the only plus EV teaser. Like the only clear
Stanford
plus
Wonk.
EV teaser, like,
Stanford Wonk. Uh-huh.
It's not in the golden zone because obviously a road favorite is not ideal.
That's correct. So it's not Stanford Wonk. That's right. That's true.
But 8.5 down to 2.5 is almost too good to be true. Honestly. Can I pair them with Alabama -8, or is that illegal? Illegal. Okay.
But a good thought, because I will have that in my account as well.
By the way, you can do that on DraftKings. They have crazy alternate lines that you can parlay together to create your own best like teasers. You can get 9 points in this game, or it's incredible.
That might be a good way to approach this if you wanted to tease the Saints, actually, because. But again, I can't in good conscience tease the Saints from 10.5 to 4.5. That's nonsense. So I'm going to go Rams. We're going to take the Rams from 3.5 out to 9.5. I know, you know, we've already got the 3, so that's not going to, we're not getting any more. But I don't think the Seahawks are the type of team that's winning games by multiple scores. They never have been. They never will be under Pete Carroll. It's just not the way that they, you know, that's not the way that these teams play. Interestingly, the Rams have been a bet on team now three straight games against the Seahawks. So somebody in the market is seeing something pretty obvious in this matchup that favors the Rams. Probably their the fact that their defense is the best unit on the field out of the four. I'll take the Bucks and the Rams. We'll do the two roadies on Saturday night.
But you are correct. The most by the book that you can, the closest to a Stanford Wong play that you can get this week in Super Wildcard Week, going Bucks and Rams there, Mikey.
Bills Steelers.
Ooh,
so you're taking the Bills down to minus a half.
Yeah.
And the Steelers down to zero.
Dad.
I also like Tampa Bay minus 2.5. I just watched that. I mean, other than, you know, getting the ball to McKissick, who's the greatest running back of all time. I mean, the Washington Redskins offense is really, really rough to watch. I mean, they were trying to give that game away on Monday night. I mean, the offense is just so tough to watch. So, you know, if Tom Brady forgets it's fourth down or fifth down or sixth down, we know he did that earlier in the year against the Bears, which is a good defense. I don't know how that Tampa Bay is not going to win the game. I don't know about laying all the points, but if I only have to lay 2.5, I think Tampa Bay gets there. So I'm going to take Tampa Bay minus the 2.5. And my other one, I mean, I'm going all in on the evangelical week here, and I'm going to take the Colts plus 12.5. I know it's crazy to do this, and I'm probably going to get burned. And, folks, you probably have a guaranteed winner if you go against me, because I don't think I've ever won a bet backing Philip Rivers. And if I've ever gone against him, he plays the game of his life. So pretty much all you have to do is fade me this week, and you're going to win a zillion dollars. But I'm going to guess.
What was the evangelical part?
Phillip Rivers is evangelical.
Oh, Phillip Rivers, I see. Making an actual evangelical.
I'm going all evangelical. Yeah. So Colts plus 12.5. I mean, you know, if I really wanted to go evangelical, I would do a teaser with Incarnate Word on Saturday's basketball, but right. I'm not going that. But I'm going to just stay with Colts plus 12.5 and Tampa Bay minus 2.5 as my picks, because I just think that the Colts are going to keep. The Bills just have a stinker in them. I feel it coming that there's a stinker coming. They've played so beautifully the last 5 weeks. I just feel a stinker is coming.
Do you feel a stinker's coming, Todd?
Sometimes you feel a stinker, and if it comes, you know, it's like you said, Indianapolis is very up and down. You can't tell what team you're going to get.
Drew,
I just have a feeling.
Drew, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I have Buffalo and New Orleans already in the account, and you're right. That New Orleans teaser is not a glowingly perfect plus EV teaser leg, but that's what I bet first. My first instinct was Buffalo Saints.
Saints were giving you
3.5.
How do you get 3.5? I have at 10.5.
Okay, I'm just telling you what I have from earlier in the week, but whatever it is now, I'm just telling you that's what I have in my account.
Right now it's 10.5, really.
So I would change it a little bit, probably, right? I like 3.5 better than 4.5. But I'm just telling you what I bet earlier. So I would say Buffalo and the Rams then, if I were doing it on the current lines.
All right, Rams.
Well, that's what we use the current lines. That's how.
Thanks, Todd.
I'm guessing that Saints is 10.5 for a reason, and it's probably teaser protection.
Teaser protection. Well, 9.5.
Well, it's not really. It's 10.5 with the plus money, so it's sort of almost 10. You know what I mean? It's like
Exactly. But it's 10.5 because they don't. You know, if you tease 6, you get the stand. You get the you get the line that's hung.
Yeah,
you can't tease 10.
The 4 has gone away as a good number in the NFL because you have all these games where the team's down 11 and it lands 5 or 3. The 4 has become a lot less valuable from what I've understood.
5 has made a resurgence, as we have discussed.
Because we have all these 11-point games, they come down, they get the touchdown, and miss the 2-point conversion.
All right, young Mike Palm has a heart out here, so we want to press this on. Usually, we get to our final two questions here, but I have one before the final two questions. What futures bets have you made? What are you thinking of making? Drew, you said Baltimore. You and I talked about that a few weeks back. You have Baltimore up the wazoo.
Yeah, overweight on that one. Need them to beat the Chiefs next week. Although I have, so just in for full transparency, I have a Chiefs preseason at plus 450 to win the Super Bowl. I have Baltimore at 18-1 to win the AFC. I have Saints at 7-1 to win the NFC. And a couple other pretty minus EV plays as well. Obviously, I had San Francisco that didn't do anything. I had the Rams, which I could have gotten a much better number now. In general, as I look across the futures market, I obviously have a gaping liability if Green Bay wins.
Yeah.
I have a liability if Buffalo wins. The way I look at the AFC playoff picture right now, I think you have three realistic teams that could win the AFC. You have Kansas City, you have Buffalo, and you have Baltimore. I don't think Steelers realistically are in the picture to win three games. Tennessee, similarly, worst defense. I don't think they could realistically win the title. Browns and Colts, I think, are going home this weekend. So looking at the prices on those three teams, I'm not laying juice on Kansas City to win the AFC right now. The way that they, you know, their game script is so predictable. They let the other teams kind of come out, give you their best shot, and then they kick it into full gear. You can get a better price in game live than minus 112 or whatever you're seeing right now for Kansas City to win the AFC, just to win a game probably,
right,
against their divisional opponent and against their AFC opponent likely. So I would attack it that way. Similarly, Baltimore at 6-1 right now is not a plus EV number. You're better off doing a money line rollover if you really love Baltimore. Because they're going to have to do it the hard way themselves. They're going to have to go on the road and win three games, Tennessee, KC, Buffalo likely, which leaves me with Buffalo at plus 340, plus 350. I think that's a fair EV play. If Baltimore were to upset Kansas City in the divisional round and Buffalo hosts Baltimore in the title game, they're going to be 3-ish point favorites, maybe 2.5. You know, you'll have some pretty nice equity in pocket if you have plus 340 on Buffalo to win the AFC. So of the futures that are available right now, that's the only one that really sings to me. NFC is way murky.
Way murky.
It is so matchup dependent. I don't think you can really make a case anyway right now with the numbers.
So Buffalo Bills would be the shot right now. Mikey, have anything?
I don't. Okay. I didn't do any futures this year.
Yeah. Todd, anything?
I don't have anything. I like in-game. I don't really like futures.
But, especially in a year of COVID, right? The only thing I have, though, just to be honest, what I have from November, I do have the Chiefs to win the AFC at plus 120 and to win it all at plus 295. It's the only thing I bet at any point during the season. Both of my season win totals hit. Dolphins over, Patriots under very easily. The only future I had pre-flop, Dolphins to win the AFC East, which people mocked me for, plus 1150, did not quite get home. We'll see if Brian Flores, which I did not, was not able to bet because I didn't have access to it, but recommended, I think, Drew, you were on with me when we both recommended this 25-1 on Flores. We'll see if that gets home. Final two questions.
By the way,
yes.
I just looked at DraftKings exact Super Bowl outcome. You know, they have those deals where you can do team to play team. Chiefs to beat Packers is the lowest one at plus 675. Mm-hmm. That kind of sounds interesting.
South Point has these two.
Chiefs to beat Packers plus 675. Chiefs to beat Saints plus 1,000. Saints to beat Chiefs plus 1,400.
What's Washington to beat? What's Washington to beat Indianapolis?
Let's see. Washington football team to beat who?
Indianapolis. I'm just messing. It's got to be the long shot, right?
The Washington to beat the Colts. Yes. No. Washington to beat the Colts is 150000.
There you go.
So it's how many would that be? That would be like
not enough zeros is what that tells me.
It's a lot of zeros.
Yeah.
Real quick on the NFC, the picture starts to get a lot less murky if Seattle beats the Rams, in my opinion. And that's the first NFC game. I think the pack, obviously, you know, the NFC goes through Lambeau. As I look at all these teams, and I know that the Bucks handled the Packers. I know they beat them soundly. But I think the Rams still are the kind of nightmare matchup for the Packers. And if the Rams get past the Seahawks and head to Lambeau for round two, that's a very interesting potential to upset the Packers. And that opens the door wide open for the Saints.
You think if Seattle gets to Green Bay, they're a potential upset candidate?
No. I think if Seattle takes the Rams out of the playoffs,
then it's
Green Bay's to lose.
I agree with that because the Rams defense is always going to be the best unit on a football team.
Yes.
On a football game, rather. Yeah.
And they match. You know, you put Ramsey. He wipes out Devontae Adams. You get you move Aaron Donald onto the left tackle, the missing left tackle spot. He disrupts Aaron Rodgers. The Rams defense is a nightmare for the Packers.
They're going to be able to score. I'm sorry, Drew. With that said, most playoff passing yards, they have a thing for most playoff passing yards for the playoffs. Mahomes plus 225, Josh Allen plus 350, Tom Brady plus 500, Drew Brees plus 500, Russell Wilson plus 600, and here's the one I like, Aaron Rodgers plus 650?
Right, but remember the Chiefs and the Packers only can play a maximum of 3 games, Todd. That's the rub.
Yeah, then why is Mahomes plus 225?
It's a terrible number. People like Mahomes, but I don't know if it's a terrible number, but people love Mahomes. They're going to bet Mahomes, so that's why he's the short shot, I guess. But remember that the Chiefs and the Packers can only play a maximum of 3 games.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. Maybe Tom Brady.
If you're
Brady
evaluating those two numbers, though, Mahomes and Rodgers, you're right. Rodgers is plus EV relative to Mahomes by a mile.
Rodgers would be the bet there. The okay, final two questions because Mikey's got to run. Of the big favorites, the most likely to lose outright, talking about Buffalo, Tampa Bay, and New Orleans. One word answers, please, everybody. Drew.
I'm going to say Tampa Bay.
Mikey.
Tampa Bay.
Todd.
Of course, the Buffalo Bills.
Tampa Bay is the answer. And finally,
Mikey.
I'm like John McLaughlin.
Mikey, I was goofing about you dying. Obviously, I don't want you to die. I hope you make it safely back home from the vaccination and you don't have any problems.
Thank you. What's the last question?
Did you already get your shot? Because you seem a little...
No, I have to get it 11:30. I'm heading there now.
Okay.
No one likes a shot. I get it.
Yeah, I get it. We live in a bizarro world. You have to pick every game, but you get one free pass. Drew, what's the game you would want no part of on the side?
Bears-Saints.
Just because of the size of the number?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bears-Saints.
Todd.
I hate all these games, but I'll play them in game.
I'm going to say Tampa Bay, Washington as the one that maybe that's my Washington. Mikey, good luck.
Thank you.
Mike Palm, everybody, on his way to get vaccinated. Part one of a 2-part, 21-day vaccination span. I'm a little worried about
I have
Mikey.
Vaccine minus 145 over Mikey.
Yeah. I steamed it already. It's minus 160. All right. Todd, appreciate it as always. To Mike Palm, appreciate it as always. Drew, I can't say enough, man. The name of the your podcast is the Deep Dive Podcast. You and Andy are spectacular. You not only do football, though, you guys do basketball. And the reason that you and I got to know each other first is you love tennis as well. And I love anybody who loves to bet tennis.